Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark, and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Are we starting the new year with a special offer for our listeners?
Let's give them a 2022 offer, and that's 50% off of any subscription at the website VRTrader.com. And you enter the promo code 2022 half off, and you get half off. And again, VRTrader.com is the website.
And for our new listeners, a little note of advice here.
Yeah, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. So I'm just a newsletter publisher and commentator on the markets.
What kind of newsletters do you publish?
Well, we have a whole slew of them, and the flagship letter is called VR Platinum, not related to platinum in particular, but it covers all the major markets. But we also have our cannabis letter, and which, by the way, some of these little cannabis stocks are starting to uptick here at the start of the end of the year. Maybe it's what they call the January effect. You know, stocks that have been beaten down a bit bounce back into the first quarter. But anyway, we have our metals resource letter and our big blockchain letter, which is hot now with the action of Bitcoin and so forth. And we have, of course, our book, The Trader's Book of Volume. You can purchase that as well at the website. Covers all the major volume indicators. And of course, we have our VR Forecaster report, which is our annual report of where we think the market will track during the year, and we've been publishing that since 1987. So a few things to choose from.
So what is going on with Bitcoin?
Well, it's been a lot of action in the short week. Started strong, and then there was some story that the rumors about immediate approval on the part of the Securities and Exchange Commission for that BlackRock ETF wasn't going to happen so fast. You know, everybody's thinking it was coming in a day or two or this week, and who knows what the government's going to do and not do. But, you know, it's pretty clear that it's going to happen. I mean, BlackRock's the biggest money manager on the planet, you know, several trillion under management, and they're probably as big as the government in terms of influence. So there's no question the ETF will get approved. It's just a question of when. And so the Bitcoin Trust, the ticker symbol GBTC, had a little volatility, a couple points either side this week. You know, we've been discussing it as a good situation for people, considering those who don't like actually or don't understand how to purchase an actual Bitcoin and go about doing that. So this is like trading a stock, and the GBTC is one way of doing it. And there's some story that the GBTC is trying to appeal to get their trust listed as an ETF as well, an exchange-traded fund as well. So in competition with the BlackRock Larry Fink project. So, well, you know, a lot of action there. You know, I mean, not saying all cryptos are moving up with it. That's the hot one. And, you know, once it's approved, you know, you could argue, well, they've been rallying Bitcoin up to $45,000, and in anticipation of that, it could get overdone, and, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news type thinking. You know, when the news actually hits, will that be the top, or will it just blow off for a few days after that point? It's that's a trading comment, but as I've mentioned on these broadcasts before, you know, when the World Gold Council pushed to get the gold ETF approved years ago, which is ticker symbol GLD, over the years that provided a lot of support for the gold market. Because when you buy the ETF, whether it's gold or this new Bitcoin, the money managers have to go out and buy the physical commodity to, you know, fill in the missing space there. So that acts to drive prices up. So, you know, over the years, gold is higher. It's had a lot of volatility, but last 20 years, from $200 to almost $2,100, which is a greater percentage gain than the S&P or the Dow Jones Industrials. And you can certainly argue that Bitcoin has a lot more volatility in terms of the percentage moves and so forth. But it's also, you know, it's been recently supported by the, you know, the thought that we're going to get that approval. So, you know, we're in it. And I think, you know, I think I mentioned on these broadcasts before, too, I thought Bitcoin's going a lot higher anyway, you know, in 80, 90,000 range. Because I think I've mentioned that it's been a lot lower. So even from here, it's probably a double, but that could be a couple of years. It doesn't have to happen right away. And you got to be prepared for shakeouts, you know. They can come out with the story, Jim, that it's approved tomorrow and Bitcoin goes from 45,000 to 60,000 and some huge spike and the trust explodes from the, you know, mid-30s up to the high 40s or 50s and everybody's all happy. And, you know, that could be a trading event. So keep your ears and eyes out, your antenna up. There's action here.
And, of course, as you say, there's always something happening in a market somewhere.
Yeah, that's we got to give credit to Jim Cramer on that one. Maybe he didn't originate it, but there's always a bull market somewhere is the expression. And whether it's bull market or not, it could be an opportunity to be on the short side. You know, you can make market money in either direction, you know, with inverse ETFs and all kinds of, you know, fund vehicles now. They actually, you know, as you know, they created these tracking stocks for the big name stocks, like, for example, Tesla. You don't have to buy Tesla itself, which is a expensive stock, you know, $240, $50 stock. You could buy the tracking stock, which trades, I think, around $20 a share or something like that, or $15 a share. So it tracks with the big stock. So the, you know, the industry always comes up with ways to make money, right? So, you know, part of the reason why Bitcoin Trust is happening and the ETF is happening is because all this action for Bitcoin was going other places, going into the pockets of Coinbase and Uphold and these other platforms that execute orders in Bitcoin, and Wall Street saying, hey, we want a piece of that action, you know. So it's overtaken time, but, you know, now they're moving into that. Into that space. So, you know, it's just a question of opportunity. And as you just mentioned, you know, there's always a place to make money. When the cannabis stocks got hot, sure enough, what do? They created ETFs for cannabis stocks. They didn't want to miss out on that one. So, yeah, it's there's always action somewhere. You know, I've been doing this for, you know, decades, and there are always thoughts come to mind about, gee, you know, is there going to be opportunity to make money forever in the markets? I mean, you know, with all the negative events and wars and corrections and crashes and on, but sure enough, it always seems to pop back and or, you know, special situations emerge, you know, like the cannabis stocks or like the Bitcoin or the oil market or the gold market. And, of course, the big one this past year was, you know, the new technology in the computers, you know, NVIDIA and so forth and so forth. So that's always something.
Now, with the conflict in the Middle East, shipping companies now are trying to avoid the Red Sea and the Houthi rebel rocket boats that come out and either machine gun the crews or send rockets at the ships. What is that doing to commodity prices?
Well, in theory, it should drive them higher, but a lot of them are tied to the U.S. dollar. So the U.S. dollar, you know, goes down and declines, you know, or goes up. That it works inversely with commodities. So, you know, the gold bulls and the commodity bulls want to see a weaker dollar, but the dollar gets strong, that sort of doesn't kill those markets, but it puts, you know, a roadblock in there because of the pricing in U.S. dollars. So, you know, that's a whole other discussion, what's going on in the Red Sea and the fact that, we're getting off on a tangent a little bit, but we're already essentially at war. I mean, the U.S. planes have gone into Syria and all kinds of places, and they're bombing people. And, you know, in years past, when you do stuff like that, that's war. You know, when Japan sent a few flights over and sunk a couple of U.S. ships, that started a war, if I recall correctly. So we've had dozens of military actions on the part of the U.S. that are not really talked about, you know, destroying bases and so forth all around the Mideast, and the ships, the Houthis, are in there. Last I read in a bulletin a few hours ago, the U.S. said, we're not giving you any more warnings. You know, don't do it again. And I don't know what that means. Are they going to go into Yemen and blow these guys to kingdom come? Or are they going to go after Iran? Or they're going to just, they're just chatting and blowing hot air and not intend to do anything. So aggressive action should have taken place long before now. So, we're going to get into a whole other discussion here, but we're not the financial press. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, I turn on the TV and read the financial stories, and what's the subject? You know, the subject is the Federal Reserve and interest rates. I mean, they don't discuss Houthis or the Red Sea that much, and they don't discuss the fact that we're actually taking military action and war has been underway. Of course, we know it's been underway with Ukraine and Israel, Hamas already. So these are the real impacts, I think, for 2024, Jim. You know, I mean, it's we'll see. Markets like war to a certain extent because it creates business, but there could be a surprise event, and I've been calling for something. In fact, just before the new year, if you saw my newsletter, I had a picture of a bear right on the first page. I said, watch out for this fellow. And sure enough, the market's been diving the last few days. And it's not so much that that stocks are high, which is the reason that we should be expecting a correction anyway. We just have world events out there which are really negative. And I just hope that it doesn't turn to the worst possible turn. As you know, this is also the year of the dragon in the Far East. And the dragon symbolizes power and nobleness, honor, luck, and all kinds of fun stuff. It's also a supernatural being, and it's an interesting parallel that, you know, he spits fire, supposedly, and is a pretty dramatic creature. So I have other theories about dragons, which I mentioned in the letter, too, but we won't get into that here. But in any event, the dragon is an aggressive creature. This could be the time for more war. I hate to say that.
Well, the president of China has said he plans on reunifying Taiwan/Taipei with mainland China.
Right, and what are we going to do if that happens? And that's the big question. It doesn't appear we will do anything under the current U.S. administration, I don't know. I mean, I know smart companies like Taiwan Semiconductor, which produces most of the semiconductors in the world in Taiwan, is building the largest plant ever right here in Phoenix, just about a half hour from where I'm speaking to you from. It's one of the multi-billion-dollar Taiwan plants. So you know, obviously the thought was, these things are years in the planning. It's not supposed to be in operation, I believe, until 2025 or 2026. Obviously, anticipating, you know, a cutoff in that China-Taiwan, you know, business, and you know, the need to have an alternate location to produce these things. So, I guess the writing's on the wall. You know, it's just a matter of time. China's patient. You know, they waited about over 100 years to take Hong Kong back from the British, and they waited and waited, finally got it, and you know, they have a lot more, like I say, more patience. So if it doesn't happen now, it happens in 20 years, eventually it will be theirs.
Sure, China has 5-year, 10-year, 20-year, 50-year, and 100-year plans. The U.S. Congress can't even plan to get their budget in order within a couple of days.
Right. So the big picture is on their side, and eventually Taiwan, which was part of China, will be part of it. And it's just a question, will it be a military confrontation or just a more quiet event? And, you know, it's really hard to predict how it'll play out. And, you know, hopefully when it does happen, it's inevitable. You know, it's inevitable that, you know, we don't see bloodshed and they're able to merge peacefully. But, you know, obviously Taiwanese, you know, are under a different political auspice than China. You know, they want their freedom and democracy, and we don't have that in China. So there is a, you know, there is a problem there. But Hong Kong was able to be assimilated, and some skirmishes, obviously, it wasn't totally smooth. There have been problems since, but just, you know, you're just speculating about how it was all going to turn out and how Chinese investment is going to play out in terms of U.S. participation. And, you know, of course, we've been trying to, you know, shut down a lot of the connections there with the technology apparently being, uplifted of, you know, taken illegally from U.S. purveyors. And just, you know, it's just an interesting situation. We'll just have to play it. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be opportunities, whether it's shorting Taiwanese stocks or buying Taiwanese stocks or shorting or buying Chinese stocks during this this effort for those who are just looking at the capitalistic side of it. But yeah, you definitely need to be bullish on a stock like Taiwan Semiconductor, though, because we need the product. It was huge in Taiwan itself, and now it'll be based, or at least largely based, here in the U.S. So it's a good stock to take a look at.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, you would think with conflict in the Middle East, the price of crude would be much higher than it is. Do you expect it to go higher?
You know, this is also a political question, Jim. You know, is there going to be a turn in sentiment here in the U.S. in terms of political persuasion, you know, more for the oil companies than being against them? You know, if the Republicans gain more control, whether it's a Trump or a another, you know, non-democratic president or person here in the U.S. who supports independence, oil and energy independence, and the spigots open up, you know, that could suppress the price of oil, and that could be, you know, something to think about. You know, not the oil is going to go to $20 or $10 or anything like that, but, you know, if more production occurs. Now, the offset is what is needed around the world, and whether there's going to be, you know, more war activities, which appears likely, honestly, the way that what's unfolding, you know, but hopefully I'm wrong in that. But, you know, the more conflicts that we experience around the world, you know, and like this Red Sea blockage situation and more of that, you know, it could put a constraint on supply. And prices could still go up, you know, if certain ability to deliver the oil, particularly in a more aggressive war situation, unfolds. And despite what would happen here politically, you could still see higher prices. I just think demand for oil worldwide is significant. And despite all the talk of alternate energy and everything else, you know, it's still a critical factor, and it's going to be in demand for a long time. So, you know, it's a trading opportunity. I like some of the oil stocks, and there's also consolidation in the industry. You know, Exxon acquiring Pioneer Natural Gas, for example, which is underway, and Chevron taking out Hess, and Warren Buffett continuing to purchase Occidental Petroleum shares. So there's a feeling somewhere that business isn't going anywhere down very fast. There's still going to be demand in business there. So I'm still a bull overall, just a common sense point of view, but you have to trade it. It is in a little bit of a correction here. But we're also in a positive cycle time frame, which generally lasts from mid-December into the spring. So we'll see if that offsets any of the short-term selling that you might see here the last couple of days. But it still seems to be holding around that $70 a barrel area. So let's keep an eye on it. We do and have mentioned many of these names in our newsletter. So let's see how it plays out. But overall, I'm a bull, but you have to trade when you can.
China's building four more nuclear reactors. Is that good news for uranium?
Yeah, it should be. Well, this has been underway for a while, and very little action here in the U.S., so they're light years ahead of us in terms of common sense. The big uranium stock, Cameco, hit a trading top here last week or so and has been pulling back a little bit. It got overdone, but still, that's a good common sense indicator to keep an eye on what's going on, in the uranium world. I mean, uranium was way down there. I think it was down like $15, and now it got up close to all to 100 in terms of pricing. And more and more people are doing it. China's doing it, and last we had, in the U.S. we only have one that I've heard of in Georgia, and we have idiots out there, particularly in Germany, that shut down their nuclear reactors, thinking that was a smart thing to do, and then they find out that. They got to buy coal and other things that they didn't want just to survive. Yeah, that is the ultimate solution. Military uses it for battleships and for submarines. It's used in outer space. Ultimately, maybe we'll have fusion engines in our car like we saw in that movie Back to the Future. Nuclear power is really our future in terms of self-sufficiency and unlimited power. And unlimited supplies for that power. So a bull there, but it had run up here, as in the last year or two. So like anything else, you got to wait for the pullbacks if you're not in. But big picture comment is bullish.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me. And again, Happy New Year to all our listeners.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.